I'm really looking forward to today. I look forward to all of these gatherings, but I'm looking forward today because in the couple of years that I've worked with Emily and Tadawa and the whole team at Reach, one of the things that I really admire about Reach is you guys are good fundraisers. You really do a good job of keeping a steady flow of donations. The lifeblood that keeps Reach going. And sometimes you do it with your bicycle rides, and sometimes you do it with other fundraising activities. And it's really going to be interesting for me to hear it from somebody who's come in and picked up the Reach culture and learned something from Emily and can give us a fresh perspective on fundraising Reach style. So Tadawa, welcome to the group. Welcome to here today, and we're all really looking forward to hearing from you. If are you going to use any PowerPoint slides?
Yes, I've got the PowerPoints ready.
Okay, and anytime you're welcome to just click on share the screen. And the floor is yours. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you so much, Sipal, and thank you, everyone. I'm very excited to be sharing with you all today about Reach and how we fundraise, essentially. So I'm actually the communications officer at Reach, and I work in the fundraising department. And a very big part of my job is fundraising. It's communications and fundraising. But then if we think about it, communication to a very large extent equals fundraising. So I'm going to share with you the presentation and get started. And also, I'd like to say, excuse me, I've lost my voice a bit. I caught a cold this week and have now just started properly recovering. Okay. Can you all see my screen?
We can.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I am going to jump into it and share with you fundraising and communications at Reach CME. So in this presentation, I'll be talking to you about how Reach has grown over the past 5 years. We officially registered as a charity in Cambodia and in Australia in 2019, and we officially opened our gates in March 2020. Unfortunately, in that same March, we had to shut down because of COVID. We were only open officially for 3 days. And it's been truly a journey to come from having our plans flipped upside down because of COVID to where we're standing now, and with the success and growth of our organization. I'll be sharing with you about our brand and our communication style, which play a very, very big role in how we fundraise and how we get our message across to our donors and to our partners. And then I'll be sharing with you our fundraising strategy, how we go about raising these much needed funds for our programs and our community. I'll share with you about our major campaigns, and lastly, the lessons we've learned along the way of along these past 5 years with fundraising, and just in general with our operations and how that affects how we fundraise. So in less than 5 years, our organization has grown truly, truly, truly so much. I joined Reach in August 2022, so I've been here just over 2 years. And in those 2 years alone, I've seen Reach grow exponentially. But from the very beginning, it's grown even more so. The organization started off with 20 team members, and now we currently have 38 team members, and 34 of those 38 team members are Cambodians who are delivering our programs to our students and to our families. We also had initially began Reach with less than 200 children, And now, as of October of this past October, actually, we have 375 students, and that has been so amazing. And having the organization grow so much has been very exciting. Of course, it makes us super happy to be able to extend our programs and services to more children and their families, but it also means now our fundraising targets are going to be higher. So that's we've got our work cut out for us. And then we also started with 7 programs initially, to now 13 programs. And of these 13 programs, a lot of them came out of them, a lot of them had not been planned. They came out of recognizing that there was a need for this program to support our families and our students. And I think the most important growth that we've had, which shows that that we are doing the work that we've set out to do, is in the past 5 years, we've been able to have 14 internships, award 7 university degrees, and 3 vocational training placements. And these have all been to our staff, to our students, and to beneficiaries, which has been, been truly important for us because our end goal as an organization is to ensure that our beneficiaries are able to secure fair employment or pursue vocational training in the journey to fighting generational poverty. We're trying to build up our students and our youth. And being such a young organization, we haven't had as of yet so many graduates from high school, but that has slowly started to come through, and we've started to see that. And with that, we're seeing the potential and the growth and the necessity for us to really drive home our fundraising, our operational side. Our team are working so hard, but in order to support them to continue delivering these programs and ensuring that our students, our youth, and even our team can reach this end goal, we really have to put in the work. So with that, the success that we've achieved over the course of these past 5 years has been can be put down to 3 key things. The first would be our stakeholders' dedication. The second would be our communication efforts, and the third would be our fundraising strategy. We truly wouldn't be here without the commitment of our stakeholders. And when I speak of stakeholders of Reach in our organization, this is from our donors, from our board, from our partners that we work with, but it's also our team who are so committed and who are so dedicated to the cause. And it's also our beneficiaries who without believing in what we do for them, they wouldn't be here. So this has been such a joint effort of commitment to Reach and to our cause. And the reason why we've been able to keep them dedicated and committed to Reach is through our communication efforts and keeping them involved in what we do. A lot of our stakeholders, such as partners, donors, and our international advisory boards, they don't live in Cambodia. They are in different parts of the world. And how we keep them connected is through our communications, whether that be social media, whether that be through mail outs, that could be through reports. These very different angles we take and very different levels of communications we share with our stakeholders. Even with our beneficiaries internally, we still provide them with communications. Our social workers and our education teams are constantly keeping them updated about what's going on at the school, what's going on with Reach, and what's the latest. And that's what's kept every one of our stakeholders actively involved. And then lastly, our fundraising strategy. This largely relies on the first 2 points because now because we need to have our donors and our partners actively engaged. And one way that we work to do that and to retain them is with our fundraising efforts and with our fundraising strategy. I will share with you now the responsibilities that we have as an organization, and I think this can apply to any NGO working for their cause and fund, especially with fundraising. The first would be communicating our story. This is sharing why we do what we do, who we do it for. And that's a very important thing of keeping our donors and our partners connected to us. And in turn, how we do that is by releasing content to connect globally. Because as I mentioned before, lots of our donors and our stakeholders aren't in Cambodia. It's one thing to be here in person and see what the organization does, but not a lot of people will have that opportunity, especially if it's everyday donors who have never been to Cambodia or are unsure if they'd want to plan that. So how we keep them connected is through online, through our social media, through blogs and mail outs. And that has been truly amazing because we've received so much positive feedback for on our social media from our donors who have been following us for years, who have never been to Cambodia, saying they feel connected to what our team is doing, and that helps them, stay committed and dedicated to reach. Now, another responsibility that we've taken on is supporting our donors to raise funds. So our donors can get involved in any which way, whether it be through campaign or monthly giving or fundraisers. And in the case of fundraisers, our fundraising team always makes sure that we are readily available to support our donors to help them raise funds. If they are hosting a fundraiser, this would be through providing them with marketing material for reach. So it could be information packs about a certain campaign or a general information pack about the organization. This could also be through media packs, so curated photos that we've gathered from our photographer, or just personalized content for them to share so that they can share that with their personal networks and fundraise essentially. And in turn, because we rely so much on our donors for funds for our organization, one of our biggest roles, responsibilities, is to retain those donors and to make sure that we're still able to maintain the stream of funds that we have coming in by also retaining our donors. Now we also have running our campaigns. So our campaigns are one of our biggest source of funds as an organization, because these allow us to provide our donors with shared experiences with the organization. And these are campaigns that allow them to have quite a hands-on impact with the organization. So we Reach runs two charity bike rides, and these are very important and one of our biggest source of funds because they allow us to connect these donors to our organization, and they're able to see directly the impacts that they're making. And finally, this is how we're able to bridge the gap between our donors and our cause. It's through both our fundraising and our communications that we constantly make sure that our donors are connected to the organization. I think that has been our biggest strong point in making sure everyone is aware of what's happening at Reach in whatever capacity. A quick example would be we have a monthly giving club. Okay, they're called our Running Cross Club, and they donate to our organization monthly to help us upkeep our monthly operational costs as an organization. So these costs would be it could be rent, it could be staff salaries, could be the water and electricity bills. So these group of individuals are such an important group that we give them trimestrally reports on what's happening at Reach, all of those updates. And we also have a Facebook group for them where they get behind the scenes Facebook posts about what's happening at the organization, because everyone can access what's on social media. But we keeping them connected and letting them know that they're playing, but that because they're playing such a pivotal part in helping us upkeep our monthly operational costs, we want them to see what's happening on the ground behind the scenes. And these would be very informal or funny or insightful posts. So that's just one approach that we do in making sure that our donors are connected and constantly updated. So our communication strategy at Reach is one, we communicate often. We always make sure to be active on social media, to have posts going out. And even in the private private groups that we've created, we're also still active in that to make sure that our donors remain up to date. So this would be through social media, this could be with reports, this could be with mail outs, and in some cases, we also reach out to regular donors or donors who have been with us for a while just to check up on them and let them know that because they've played such a big role at Reach, that they are part of the Reach family and we're just checking in. The second is to release content across multiple platforms. So social media is such an important tool as a nonprofit to use. So we are active on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on YouTube, and on Twitter. For some, Twitter might not be the most useful tool, but in other cases, you'd be surprised that it can offer a gateway into new donors or new ideas for fundraising or for communications. The third is leveraging excellent photography and videography. This is something that we take pride in. This is if we're going to be sharing content out publicly, we want to make sure that it's of the best production, it's of the best quality. Next is ask for funds rarely. Because we managed to retain our donors, most of our donors for all of these years, when it comes time for fundraising, it's always a given with the campaign or with the message sent out that we would like for donors to be involved in the campaign or in the organization. But we avoid asking directly. If a donor asks us, how can we help? Our go-to method is suggesting, oh, you could either join our monthly giving club, or you might consider doing our side by side, where you would have to fundraise. So it's always up to the donor how they want to contribute and give back to the organization. And lastly, our biggest point is protecting the privacy and dignity of our children and of our families. Because we're working with vulnerable and working with a vulnerable community, we always make it a point to uphold their dignity and privacy. So with all photography or videography that gets put out featuring a child or their family, we never share their name. We never share where they live. We're always very cautious of the photography that we put out of our students as well, because we also do want to try and avoid and avoid using their circumstances for a photo or for a video. So, how we've developed our social media strategy has also been, well, our communication strategy, pardon me, has also been with standardizing our communication style. So when we share information in our posts, in our blogs, or even, in our emails, we always share our story, making it positive and uplifting. To show, to show the impact of the work that's happening. Down to earth and genuine is always very important to keep people connected with what they read. Always our content is in line with our values of being transparent, being compassionate, being open-minded. It's always raw and honest because when it comes to storytelling, the impact of it has to come from a place of honesty, a place where people are able to understand the story based off of what they're reading, because they can't be here in person or down on the ground in Cambodia to see the reality of so many people and communities. And we always highlight our holistic approach. So for those of you who don't know, Reach operates 13 programs that work holistically. Our programs all work to support the next program that comes in our cycle. And that is what we always try to reiterate in our messages and in our communication style. And I said that we rarely ask for funds, but we always reiterate the need for support. Because as much as we've had great success over these past years, there's always still a need for support for our programs, for our beneficiaries as well. And keeping our donors connected, keeping anyone who's reading our content connected is a very important way for us to maintain our communication style. But then also, we always want to remind our donors that they have contributed greatly to our success. It's our success, but it's also their success as well because of their dedication, their commitment, and their compassion to our organization and to our beneficiaries. So, how we communicate? I mentioned before, we communicate in a number of different ways. So the first one is just through face-to-face. When we've got visitors coming to our organization, where obviously because they're on the ground, it's a lot easier to share our message. But it's also in these ways where we're able to tell them the different ways they can support, tell them the different ways they can get involved. And that's always a lot more impactful when they've been able to come on the ground. And for those who can't come onto the ground, social media is our go-to platform. And this has been amazing generally for the organization, but also during our campaigns and being able to leverage such an amazing tool. And I think especially we've recently in the past a year and a half have gotten into corporate sponsorship for our programs. And we realized that for each social media platform that you use, a different tone needs to be taken. So for example, LinkedIn, we take a more professional tone because this is something that's shared more among our corporate donors and corporate partners. And that's a very important distinction to make. And next is through our website. So along with social media, we pay a lot of attention to the maintenance of our websites and making sure that we've got great SEO on the website. And we've been fortunate enough to have a partner support us with maintaining our SEO. Because then in turn, we've had a lot of visitors and volunteers coming to our organization based simply off of a Google search. And that's something that we continue to maintain and keep up and also constantly updating the website. Next, this is through WhatsApp. So we've recently started making groups for our different WhatsApp groups for different campaigns of our fundraising because we realize that there's a group of our donors who aren't active on social media. They're super active on WhatsApp though. So now we're working with our communications to have Facebook groups, and alongside Facebook groups, there's a duplicated WhatsApp group, which a lot of donors have shared that this has been quite happy for them because they're able to keep connected. Because for some of them, when they go onto Facebook, they could be a post that they miss because it's buried underneath so many other posts. But to get it directly on WhatsApp, that's been really nice. And also for them, it feels a lot more intimate to be disconnected and to have our team remembering or putting in the efforts to remind them. Well, yes, to update them rather. The lastly is emails and mail outs. Like I mentioned before, we've taken upon emailing past donors and supporters and even volunteers just to check in on them and give them updates of what's happening in the organization. So these could be updates about my New Year celebration. It could be updates about the school graduation. It could be updates about an event that the students took part in the week prior. But it's just a way for us to stay connected with them and cover all our bases. So now I just want to share who we communicate with. So I've mentioned our stakeholders, but more specifically, our donors. We communicate with our donors, we communicate with our partners, we communicate with our program sponsors, and we communicate with our volunteers. And of course, depending on who they are, there's varying degrees of what of the mode of communication that gets sent to them. So, for example, for our sponsors, they get regularly, either quarterly or trimesterly, reports on the programs that they've sponsored. Now, for our donors, some donors also get quarterly reports based off of that they're part of our running cost club, our monthly giving club as well. And our partners also get updates on activities or projects that we worked together on, and even annual updates as well. So it's different modes, but always with the same intent and the same style to keep that connection that we've built and that has been working over these past years. So something that has helped us a lot with our communication and in turn with our fundraising has been to build our brand. And you never, as a nonprofit or as an NGO, you never initially you don't think that the brand, is something that is super important as a nonprofit. But over the years, as you develop, your core activities and your core values and practices, the branding makes such a big difference. And the branding will translate into your communication. It translates into your social media, into your reporting, even into your style of emails. And so at Reach, we try to keep our brand professional, our external branding remaining consistent, and we work on having of updating our brand guidelines, because then this gives our communications a professional layer when we're handing out reports to corporate sponsors or even just to donors as well. It's that added layer of impressing them to that extent. So I've talked a lot to you about our communication style, and so now this is where we talk about fundraising, our fundraising strategy, where our communications equals donations, because the amount of effort that we put into our communication strategy is what allows us to fundraise as an organization. So I will like to talk about our past challenges that we've had as an organization when it comes to fundraising. And this is something that a lot of that I'm aware lots of NGOs in Cambodia have experienced. So one was obviously the global pandemic. This affected our plans for fundraising, namely because it was COVID-19. They were locked down restrictions, and a lot of the plans that we had in terms of fundraising and fundraising campaigns had to be postponed. And the second one is something that came right after the global pandemic, is the global cost of living crisis. Whilst we are working in Cambodia to help underprivileged communities worldwide, the economy has made it more difficult for donors to make the same commitments that they used to. So this has put a hurdle in where we found that in year one would have campaigns doing exceedingly well. But then in the following year, because of this crisis, we were not meeting our fundraising targets. The third is constant threats to our beneficiaries. So these are, when I say constant threats, these are threats that our community and beneficiaries are always under, but we never know when they could happen. So this could come with displacements from their home. This could come with flooding of their homes and having and reallocating those funds towards those crises. Another challenge that we've had was repetitive communication strategies. Initially, when we first started, we found that through our communication strategies, we kept repeating how we would work towards to ha how we would communicate our information, as well as in turn communicate our campaigns. And then the last one has been appearing too successful. And this is feedback that we've received from a few donors in the sense of, because we communicate a lot of the successes and the highlights that we do, it undermines the challenges that we're always dealing with for our families and our beneficiaries and our communities. But in turn, in order to curb those, we've come up with various streams of income for our organization. So on the left side, you'll see seven different ways to help. And two of them, you'll see sponsor program and sponsor class. Those came out of a need to bring more funds into the organization because we had higher fundraising targets. So we came up with the idea to sponsor the programs within our organization, which is also a way for us to build more corporate sponsorships, which is a new approach that we've taken and that has truly benefited us as an organization and really helped us recover any fundraising losses that we had with campaigns that didn't do well. And then on the right, you have shared experiences. So these are campaigns where we get our donors and supporters to get involved. Our side by side, that's our student-led bike ride, where the kids take on the challenge, and donors are able to sponsor youth. We have our Rides to Reach, where donors come to Cambodia and cycle 650 kilometers. And our newest campaign, which we've just launched this year, set to take place next year, is our Walk Around for Reach. This will be an event that takes place in Australia, where most of our donors come from. So because a lot of them can't come to Reach and experience the organization, we thought, so what better way than to bring that to them? So that's actually quite exciting and something that we're looking forward to. And so we identified, following our after having identified our key challenges, we identified for our fundraising, we have four key areas of focus. We've got shared experiences that I mentioned to keep our donors and our network connected to the organization and to the work that we do. We have corporate partnerships. This is something that came out of a need of securing funds for our programs and for the organization in general. And this was a way to also get them involved in our campaigns and have them involved in so many different areas. And this is either through providing us with services, providing us with in-kind donations such as laptops, having them involved, getting them involved with our Rides to Reach or our side by side. The next has been lead generations and international trips to help fundraise. We've been very fortunate enough to have some of our team members and our founder, Emily, get sponsored to go on fundraising trips to share more of our message to reach and to generate and generate leads. And then we have other efforts, and these would come from general donations, our volunteers, and our interns as well. And so this is what I want. This pie chart that you're seeing here, this is from the year 2023 of what our shared experiences, lead generation, and corporate partnerships and other efforts, how much each, what percentage each of them contributed to our fundraising, which we've seen has had such a big impact in being able for and for us to be able to adapt and be flexible and take on new approaches to fundraising has been truly amazing and wonderful to see. And so now, the lessons we've learned to conclude with our fundraising as an organization with our communications and fundraising has been being flexible and adapting to our situation. So I mentioned that we struggled to meet fundraising goals based off of campaigns we expected to do well, but because we didn't, we found new streams of incomes and new ways to bridge that gap that had been left wide open. Another one is don't be afraid to make changes. I mentioned that at the start of the organization, our strategies were repetitive, as was our communication style. Whilst we've developed our style and our brand, but the way we delivered information, after I think after 2 or 3 years, if you're seeing the same information coming out, you are prone to losing interest. The fourth one is transparency. Transparency is one of our values as an organization, and this is something that we really share through with our communication and with our fundraising. After every fundraising campaign, we always share with our donors and also supporters the success of the campaign, or rather how the campaign did and where the funds are going, because I think that's the most important, being honest and transparent with the people who are putting so much dedication into the work we do. And lastly, just to reiterate that communications plays a big role in fundraising, and without it, so without a certain level of efforts put into communications, you won't reach your full potential with fundraising. So yes, that concludes my presentation.
Well, Tadawa, thank you for a master's degree education in communications and fundraising. And I
Yes,
am.
I apologize if I've gone a bit over, so I apologize for
Oh
that.
no! I'm so pleased you did, because that is a very holistic and comprehensive approach to undergirding your fundraising efforts with effective communications. And you made that point very clear. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some people that have some in this room. By the way, we're up to 32 people, which is one of our larger crowds. So I think you drew a crowd here, Tadawa. Thank you. But I wouldn't be surprised if there are some people who have comments or questions at this point. And I'm open to looking for a hand to raise or somebody to wave at me. Who would like the floor? While we're waiting for people to focus their mind on what they want to say or ask, I belong to a group here in the Seattle area that's called Global Washington, and it's a gathering of people who are interested in international philanthropy. And yesterday was our annual in-person meeting, held in a beautiful facility, Microsoft's Conference Center, which is really quite nice. And some of the presentations were kind of ho-hum, and some of the presentations were very enlightening. And I picked up a one-liner at that conference that just underscores what Tadawa has just been sharing with us. And this person said, I loved it, said, if you can't move the donor, you can't move the dollars. Tadawa, doesn't that really reinforce your message? If you can't
No,
move the donor,
absolutely.
you can't move the dollars.
Not exactly.
And it's a little play on words. So you, with move having two different meanings in English, it may not translate quite equally and evenly into Khmer. But if you can't engage the donor, the donor's not going to move their dollars. So you laid a beautiful groundwork for that. Time for a question.
I think I have one question right now.
Who's speaking? I didn't hear.
Rod speaking, keep playing.
Oh, Rock,
Yeah.
welcome.
Okay.
Ask away.
Thank you for the chance to ask the question. So like tell you what, it was very impressive, like very good for your presentation about like to summarize in only just this kind of minute, and I can learn a lot about different strategies of communication and equal to like fundraising and different way that you did in REIT. So one of my question is about like because it's all area that you did very successful. So my question is like, what aspect of fundraising communication do you think that could be changed or could be improved? Like you also can give an example. I don't know.
I think I'll be very honest as a communications officer and working in fundraising. One of our biggest challenges as an organization was before our fundraising team would be made of three or four people, and that worked really well up until the point where we had a lot of work and content and campaigns to get out to the point where we started having to prioritize which deadline is going to be met, and which deadline will have to be pushed. And this was at a point where so I think our biggest challenge essentially was resources and human resource and also time as well, because we picked up projects at the same time when we might have had four or five other projects going on. And this is something that me and my team I really struggled with for a while. So I think with a lot of internal training and allocating our responsibilities and roles within the department, in that aspect, we were able to work around that. Alternatively, another example, I guess, could be not meeting fundraising targets with campaigns that we projected would meet a certain amount. That's always disappointing for us to accept or to see that this is what's going to happen. And so with that's why we've had to be creative, and that's why we've been able to find other streams of income, like you said, to sort of help bridge that gap. And that's where you'd see us taking on different projects as well. That was never out of a place of it was unplanned. It was more of a place of we need to hit our targets.
Thank you, it helped.
Yes.
Pise, Pise, you have your hand up.
Good
Pise.
morning again, Bill. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you for your sharing. It was touched my emotion today because I see the images and as well as while explaining the process and how REACH can achieve the big fundraising. I have been involved. I'm Pisay from Women Resource Center.
Yeah.
So yes, your team also engaged with some events and activity recently. And yeah, we have been working together with some way with youth. But my question, I saw you mention about online like fundraising platform. I mean like different channel or communication like to keep the donor engaged with what you are doing and being honest to them and engage all relevant stakeholder. It was amazing. But my struggle was always struggle with using the technology platform that do you have team to manage that or how you manage the resources, human resources to maintain and ensure that all work? Because I tried once and then I did other thing and then if one person cannot do everything, but how you make that sustainable with other team member and train them as you mentioned, Yeah, tell me more a little bit so I can learn more. Thank you so much.
Okay, no, of course, of course. I think that all comes down to sort of dividing the roles and responsibilities. Of course, as a team, our roles and our work always overlap, but it helps when someone in your team is focused on one thing and we sort of play on strengths. For example, I'll admit I'm terrible at social media, so I never do the social media for Reach. We have another team member who does that, and so whilst they're doing that, managing the social media, and this also comes down to social media engagement. So I'm responding to comments, liking comments, even leads generation through social media. That's one team's responsibility. And then, for example, I would put my focus more into updating the websites and the fundraising platform. So I think obviously it always depends on the human resource you have available, but also playing towards people playing towards your team's strength and seeing to what extent you think would be worth also putting some time and energy towards training as well, because once you unlock that within your team, then you'll be able to add another great, great, great layer of communication.
Very thoughtful. Ling Xing, you had your hand up a bit ago, and I see Pauline also has his up. So let's hear from Ling Xing, and Pauline, we'll follow Ling Xing with you. Meanwhile, anyone else, get your hand in the air. Ling
Thank
Xing.
you. Yeah, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Hadi. It is very, comprehensive, and I do see that you're very strong in communication field. I see in your strategy related to the communication, and I have noticed that you mentioned that ask for fund rally, and then is I don't know in detail, normally when we writing and we tell people that what we want and then how much do we need, and then you say that you don't really ask for funding. I just want to hear more your strategy. And number two, relate to the communication itself, that you use the email, the reach to the different key stakeholder, donor, something like that. And then have you experienced that when the donor or anyone not reply to your email, and what is your, response to that, or you resend the email and telling something like that? I have to only two questions, but thank you so much for your sharing. Excellent, and I learned a lot, and I wrote some things on that, and we apply and follow. Thank you.
No, thank you, Lang Seng. So I think I'll answer your second question first because I find that's also a bit funny. I think most of us in communications, we all experience that of sending emails and not getting responses. And to be honest, for us, I think that's something that we can't take personally because we send these emails to our key stakeholders who are involved and who continue to be involved. So, to put it simply, they might not respond, but they're still engaging with the organization. We have donors who donate once a year. We might send them three or four emails in a year. We never hear from them, but we know at least every year we expect this donation is gonna come in then. And it's also you consider some people might be very busy. Sometimes the mail goes to spam. Also, sometimes people just aren't into emails as well. So that's something that we never take to heart. As long as we know we're doing our part in communicating with them, we've sent the email, we've sent the updates, we've done that part. If they respond, that would be great. If not, that's also fine. And then back to your first question of asking for funds rarely, I think this is an approach we've taken, and it's a choice of ours, more so coming from giving our donors the choice of how they want to support us. I think in all of our campaigns, there's fundraising involved. So it's usually our donors who are going to ask other people for funds. But then in other times when people come and visit, most times they ask, how can we help? And then we will say, you can help by sponsoring a program. You can help by volunteering. You can help by donating monthly so that we give them the choice to choose their financial commitments. With corporate sponsors, it's a bit different because these are corporations and not individuals. So with corporate sponsors, we want them to get involved in a larger financial capacity. So if it's so when they ask how can we get involved, we tell them the levels of involvement. If it's sponsoring a program, we will give them the costs of the program or of the sponsorship, or if it's getting involved in a campaign, we will share those costs. But it's all about giving them the options of, well, essentially just that, giving them the options. Yes.
I got it. It means that you give the options for the donor to select each one that they like to do. And
Yes, and
just want to check that how you ever broken heart when you send and then they don't reply and then you feel, a little bit disappointed.
I mean, yes, I think we've all experienced that, but it's also the learning lesson of it's better that we give them a choice rather than saying, give me X amount, and then it's then that's a bit more, a bit too, I guess that's where your expectations, where you get that down essentially. But when you give them a choice and then they don't get back to you, like, okay, the options were explored, and that's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
Like
you.
saying, one of the things that I've learned from some very, very good professional fundraisers over the years is donors get tired of being asked for money all the time. It's just tedious. Oh my God, it's lighten up. I'll donate when I'm ready. And so what I hear Tadawa talking about is just presenting opportunities. And that's enough. Just lay the opportunity out there, and those who are attracted will come to it like a magnet. And those that aren't are going to look the other way and maybe donate once a year. And I did a workshop here in the States 3 or 4 months ago with some US 501c3 nonprofit organizations. And that conversation on fundraising got quite interesting. And one of the organizations said, we have a rule, 4 contacts between every ask. We've got to know that we've reached out and touched that donor 4 times before we can make another ask, which I think reinforces nicely what Tadua's experience is proving. Thank you for that. Pauline, you've been waiting very patiently there. From Sustainable
Thank you.
Cambodia and Prasad.
Well, thank you, Bill, and thank you, Adiba. I apologize if I pronounced your name
No, spelled
wrong.
correctly.
I'm Polina from Sustainable Cambodia in Busan. I just wondering, with all this strategy, have you been lucky to get local people to become your donor, like Khmer people, like or government, government, Cambodian government, be part of the donor to help the program, or even the a local business for your corporate involvement with that. And that is my wondering question. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So yes, we actually have been fortunate enough to have local involvement with our organization. As of now, we don't have any programs, local program sponsors, but we've been very fortunate to have, I think the best example I can think of is for our side-by-side ride. This is when our students do 200 kilometers in 2 days. So it's an event that requires a lot of planning as well as event sponsorship. So it's actually in our for our campaign last year, thanks to our social media, we had a cycling company reach out to us because they saw our campaign video online. And they said, "Hey, I saw this. We want to sponsor all of the cycling merchandise for your students." And this was for about 45 students. They donated jerseys and shorts. And this was just through our social media. And in that same event, our team has also made efforts to consult with local businesses to contribute to in some capacity to the event sponsorship. So this would be either through donating food or donating Royal D for our kids when they were cycling. And so those were the first one having all of the merchandise sponsored. That was dare I say by luck, but that was throughout social media. And then the second one having local businesses donate food and Royal D, that was by our team going out in person to different shops and businesses and cafes and presenting our campaign to them and seeing if they would be interested. So yeah, so I think in that regard, but that's also something that we are still continuing to work towards in terms of finding local sponsorship for our programs and events.
That's
So,
really a great
let
question,
me add.
and I appreciate it very much, particularly because I see very little money raised locally in Cambodia, and you seem to have cracked into that a little bit. Can you give us some sense of any of the magnitude, how much money you're raising locally, or what percent of your budget comes from Cambodian resources? And then we'll get back to Pauline. I think he has a follow-on question.
Yes, I think there I've got this somewhere. I'd have to find it, but truthfully, we haven't raised as much money locally as we have had with overseas donors and donations. I think with this merchandise sponsorship, that might be one of our sorts of largest in-country donations we've had, which was, I think, about it might have been close to maybe $2,000.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Congratulations for doing that.
Yeah.
Pauline,
Yeah.
did you have a follow-on question?
Yeah. Well, I just want to ask about, the corporate system. Have you ever set up an ongoing, for example, a package that a local business that they can become a corporate, business with you, which is an ongoing. It's not we walk to their door and ask for donation, but it's a system that they can renew it every year. For example, they decide to sponsor 10 students, and then every year they sponsor 10 students, and then next year they sponsor 10 students, and keep going. And do you have that kind of a corporate system in that?
Yes, we do. So that would actually be, well, I don't want to allocate it to one campaign specifically, but for most of our donors, even corporates, we kind of do approach them. Maybe it's not to outright, ask to sponsor an event, but they are approached, in some regard. But with the example of maybe if they decide to sponsor a program, we offer them, we have a PDF pack for them that gets sent to them along with a media pack on how they can get involved. And this outline, so it's we call this our corporate sponsorship pack, and this outlines the different ways companies can get involved. So if it's to sponsor one of our programs, if it's to maybe donate tablets and libraries, if it's to get involved in our side by side, if it's to provide us with services as well. There are times when we do get approached where they will find us through the search engines, send an email, and they approach us, then we discuss. But once we do develop a corporate partnership, we do work on trying to renew that partnership every year, and that applies to all of our partners, making sure that we're still connected and that we're still interested in continuing the partnership that we have, whether it's through them providing us funds, whether it's through them providing us services, even whether it's through collaboration.
Oh, this is wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Thank you,
No, thank
Teddy,
you.
Guar, and
Those
Bill,
were great
give
questions.
it back to you. Thank you.
And Salin has been waiting patiently with his hand up. Salin from Human and Hope Association there in Siem Reap. Salin, what's on your
Yeah.
mind?
Thank you so much, yeah, Bill and Adiwa, for your comprehensive presentation. It's really great to hear your strategy. I catch up with corporate sponsors or corporate sponsorship that you have mentioned. Just want to learn more about it, your strategy and how you communicate with them. I don't know if you have the corporate sponsor in Cambodia or not. Please have to share. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So we currently don't have any corporate sponsors in Cambodia, but I will mention that the company that we've been able to that we had to sponsor our merchandise for our students, we've been able to maintain a relationship with them. Oh, you know what? I think I get. I don't want to outright call them a corporate sponsor in the capacity that we have them as, but locally we've been able to maintain a relationship where we've even been able to send our team to them because they have offices down in Phnom Penh. So they offered to train our team in mountain bike repair, and so that was sort of the start of our partnership from having them sponsor our event merchandise to having them get involved with our team and help build them up in that capacity. And so so we work with them when the need or the opportunity arises. And then internationally, with our corporate sponsors, how we communicate with them is we send them reports it used to be every 4 months, but it used to be quarterly, but now it's trimesterly. So 3 times a year, they receive a comprehensive report from us, and it's an update of the program that they are sponsoring. So, for example, if a corporate sponsor, it's a company that is sponsoring our computer program, every 4 months, we send them an update of what happened in that program in those months. And so this update will be about the progress of the students. It will be a letter from the teacher who's teaching the class. And we always offer them that if they ever want to connect to the teacher or to the manager of that program, that they're always welcome to do that. We make them videos. So each year, a corporate spot sponsor receives one personalized video from our team, and so this is something that's we try and make it to the highest quality of us we can. And this video will be a message from the manager of the program, and it will just be a message about a thanks for their support, and also an update. So recently, because we concluded our academic year, we sent out videos to all of our sponsors, so our program sponsors and class sponsors, to thank them. But that's also because that's what we can do with our team. So we also have to be realistic, because there was a time when we didn't have, like I mentioned before, enough human resources to be creating videos at the same time for all of our sponsors or for all of our programs. So it's also about being realistic with what we can manage. In the beginning, it was just reports, but now we're fortunate enough to be able to add another layer of that onto it.
Okay, thank
Wonderful.
you so much. And
Yes.
I know a little bit more about how you make the initial contact or meeting with the corporate.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
How do you make the initial connection or contact with the corporate leaders?
Okay. So this is usually using the network that we have. So we've been very lucky and fortunate enough to have our advisory board and international advisory board be very involved with Reach. And it's through them, and it's through other donors as well, that we've been connected to these corporate sponsors. So it's both our board, and it's also our existing donors as well, who see that, oh, okay, you have this program. I might know someone, or I might know a company that would actually be very interested in getting involved with the organization.
Okay, yeah, great. Thank you so much.
You're
Excellent.
welcome.
Good question, Saulin, and excellent answers. It's really about networking, isn't it? And the more people you know and the more people you talk to, the more these good things happen. Lita has been waiting very patiently and has her hand up. What's your question, Lita?
Yes, thank you, Bill. And I also thank you to Sister Sopal for being a great speaker today. We've been talking while Bill in Cambodia, I think last few months, and then we try to set up the plan for our monthly meeting to be effectively. So today is a great session for our team to listen and also practice the same as what Tadi explained, also sharing to us today. So my question regarding to the storytelling, I would like to ask, what are the best practice for compiling the story to inspire the donors? Yeah, because every organization we have different story. So what is your best practice? And the second question, regarding to the donor engage, like how do you effectively communicate to keep donor to engage sponsoring to reach? Yes, thank you.
That's awesome. So I think for the first question, like you mentioned, all of our organizations, we all have different stories. We all work in either similar or different fields. So that's entirely dependent on the work you're doing, and also your general mission and objective as an organization. For us, we try and have our storytelling reflect our values and our mission and what we're trying to accomplish. Our tagline is alongside Cambodian families in their fight against poverty. So you'll find that in a lot of our messaging and communications, we always make a connection of building up families, building up our students, and supporting them to sort of achieve that goal, essentially. So when you tell your story, you should be able to always connect it back to your mission, your motto, your values, and your objectives as a whole, so that at some point you've established a style where people know your story simply, but it can be, they can just read a short Instagram caption, but because you've been able to put in your message in that caption, they're able to tell that this is your style and that is your story. And that's how it reflects through your communication. And the second question, sorry, you're gonna have to remind me what the second question was.
Regarding to the donor engagement, mm-hmm. like to keep them continue support.
Okay, so with donor engagement, of course, it's always about your capacity as an organization, and human resources is always going to be a thing. But something that we really work on when we're talking to donors individually, or not even donors, stakeholders in general, individually, is to personalize our communications with them. So if we're sending an email to a donor, we always make sure that it's not so much of a template, but you know, we interact with them and we engage with them personally. And something as simple as, if it's a return donor, something as simple as like, hi, how are you? I hope you're enjoying your time in, let's say, Australia. I heard that you just had a fun concert, or something as simple as that. Or if it's a first time donor who's donated, a way to engage them is to say, you obviously you start by saying thank you for donating, that means a lot to us. And then what we do is we always end it with oh, by the way, have you ever been to Cambodia before? If you have plans, we'd love to welcome you here. Something to keep them, something to feel, to make them feel like that you're interested in them as a person and as a donor, and as a donor, and not just as a source of money, if that makes sense.
Yes. That's true. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wichani has her hand up from the Green School in Kampong Tralak. Can you turn your camera on for a moment and let us take a look and ask your question, Wichani? There you are.
It's a little bit dark. So
it's
that's
a little dark there.
Show my face. Okay, so Tadiwa, I also have a question. That my question is about the donor. So just for example, if we have donor to support our operating budget for a year, and then we believe, well, maybe next year they cannot afford to support us anymore. So how can you solve this problem? Or do you need to find a way to find other donor? And how can you find the donor? Yes, this is for my question. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's a bit of a tricky one, but I think that would be a case of sort of, dare I say, adapting, because you mentioned finding another donor, but I think you could also leverage your existing donor base and network, or find another. So what we did was, when one of our campaigns wasn't successful in general, it made a quarter of what it had made in the previous year. We had to now create a different source of income for the organization. So that was, for us, that was with having people sponsor our programs. Package that as, if you sponsor a program or if you sponsor a class, then so that's what helped us bridge our gap in terms of funds. But I think that's the only response that I can think of at the moment, because I think it'd also be very quite specific as well.
I would just piggyback on that for a moment. Just because a donor needs to drop away, they've funded you nicely, we've appreciated them, and then they can't continue for whatever reason. Don't let go of them. Continue to stay in touch with them and appreciate them as a person, as a human being, maybe they can come back and maybe they'll show back up again. I've had a number of donors who have donated every other year sometimes, but keep in touch with them, and we don't cross them off just because they couldn't donate this year.
Jared, thank you so much.
Wow, what a I'm really, really glad we recorded this. And it'll be up on our website in another day or so. So Paul, my great friend and partner, you've been real quiet through all of this, and wanted to give you a chance to put a couple words in on this before we transition out of this enlightening conversation on communications and fundraising. And move on, but love to hear from you.
Well, thank you everyone for making your time to come today and Tadiwar to, spend time, put your effort to make this into a very nice way to explain to us. It's like step one, two, three. That's really great. And I know all of us are struggling, and it's like at the end of the year now, what need to be done for the following years is like it's, I don't know, nervousing situation. So I'm glad that we could make this time together and to learn a lot. So I've been quiet because I've been learning. I would say everyone has been doing your part, and keep up. I know sometimes we're disappointed, but there's always hope. So keep communicate, and I really like that everyone actually, echo Tadiwa a lot in terms of like keep communicating. And even if in our foundation, we never really like asking for money. We just say this is what we have done, and there's more opportunity to get done. So I think we just need to keep communicate and keep doing good work. And one day someone will come. I mean, Virginie, you have many great stories where people actually just word of mouth, basically. If you're doing good work, everyone keep talking about us, and everyone keep actually continue supporting us. Maybe not the same person, and I think it's a bit too harsh to actually like trying to make sure the same person keep donating because they have their own issues as well. I don't think it's need to be disappointed when the person do not donate to us. But if they can't afford to donate, maybe they actually tell their friend to donate to us, or they probably donate to other good thing. So it's just like we do our part, other do their part too. So I think just keep up. Don't lose our hope. One day, every day the sun always rise. So I don't know, maybe someone in Utah right now, Bill probably could not see the sun that many hours, but there will be sunset and sunrise every day. So that's my message today. I would say keep up, everyone.
That's
Thank you so
true.
much, Bong. Thank you.
And you reinforce the point that fundraising, undergirded by effective communications, is a long game. It just doesn't, it isn't something you can turn on and turn off. It's a long-term proposition. And Tadua, you did a wonderful job of summarizing that. And I intentionally let this run a little bit long today just because of the interest that you were seeing and hearing from the group.
No, thank you.
We
Well,
haven't
I'm happy to share.
had 31 people show up for several months now. And so you drew a crowd, my friend, and you made us all proud. You made us all really happy.
No, I'm just really happy that you all came, and I do hope that I was able to share a lot with you.
You did, and we're most grateful. I'm going to stop the recording now.